That's an original. Yes, already did. Okay, I'm going to try to stand up.
Did you check the potential of your EMF?
Yes. My eyes... Okay. This morning, we're going to start a new series in the book of Genesis. And the book of Genesis is something that is so misunderstood that if I was to say there was very, very few people that understand the book of Genesis, it would be an understatement. There's two books in this Bible that people are so interested in but yet are so lacking in understanding in, and that's in the beginning and the end. Genesis and Revelation. Jesus said, "I am the beginning and the end." If I don't know the beginning and the end, I surely don't know anything in the middle, do I? So, I've already taught the end, which is the beginning. Now I'm going to the beginning, which is the end. How's that? Okay? So now we're going to find out some things about Genesis. And let me say this before I start. I'm going to lay some foundational work. Genesis is not a history book. And I'm not saying it just for you here, but for the ones that receive us on tape. Genesis is a life book. It's a seed bed. It's where the seed of God was sown first, and where everything that God has done has been brought through this book. The whole gospel, the whole story of this Bible is in this book. Now, how we understand it is what brings it about. If our understanding is not opened up, we'll just read it as a history book. And that's why so many people read the Old Testament as a history book and just pass, I want to know the New Testament. Well, the New Testament is nothing more than a revealing of the Old Testament. When Paul wrote all of his writings in the New Testament, all he was doing was revealing what God had said in the Old Testament. Not a new thing. The book says there's no new thing under the sun, doesn't it? See, this is all just a revealing of what God has already exposed to his humanity. So as we go through this study, listen, I don't know it all. I'll say it on tape so the whole world can hear it. I don't know it all. I'm learning this as I go. And as I go, I learn every day. This is a teaching, and I've said it before. As I study and prepare to teach you what God has shown me, I'm learning. I'm not going in this thing thinking I know everything, and I'm just going to sit here and dazzle you with my brilliance. That is not even in the thought process. I'm learning as we go through this together. Okay? And I'm wise enough to know this, that I don't have it all, but you've got some of it too. And see, your view of it can fill in the blanks in my view. And my view can fill in the blanks in your view. And as we work together, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. What would happen if everybody in this room would go together? Huh? What could we do if we all work together and express ourselves? And that's why we need to have expression to everything we do. Just like you said this week, Shannon, you got to express yourself, and in that expression, what did it do to your thinking process? It changed a whole lot. And that's what we have to do. Continually be open to expression. Okay, we have to have grace and mercy that mistakes will be made, but that's okay. Mistakes are a good thing if you learn from them. Okay? Now, since I've laid that thing down, I want to start with Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning, okay? I could spend the whole tape today on in the beginning, but that's not the point of trying to take a stone the size of this building and roll it down to a grain of sand. What I'm trying to do is lay a format out, an outline, to give you an idea of the way God's going, and then you and God work this thing out in your life. Because the view that I see in my life may not be identical to what yours is because of where we're standing. Different strokes for different folks, see? So we'll work this out together, but we'll all work it out ourselves in our own minds. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein life there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now let's go back and see what God has to say in all this. I'm going to say some things you've never heard before, because God revealed things in my mind that I had never seen myself. In the beginning, it's words we hear every day in church realms. Is that not true? Okay. In this word beginning, it's the word reshith. If you look at it, it says it's specifically first fruit. We're not talking about in the beginning of time, but God did something in a certain people. God created something right here now in this very thing. He created something not as a beginning of time, but as a beginning group of people. And Jesus again is called the what? He said, I am the beginning and the end. He is the first fruit. He is the beginning of the first fruit. He's the firstborn of many brethren. This was the Christ being formed. I know we've talked about this in the past, but this is going to just lay some foundation in here for some other people. Okay? This word is resheath. It's translated. Excuse me. It's translated first fruit 34 times in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament. 19 times it's translated as in the beginning. But there's another word, tekchila, and it's the number 8462 in the Strong's, and it's translated 22 times in the beginning. That's what that word means. Huh?
What's the number of
resheath? Resheath is 7225. Okay? It says specifically first fruit, but the other word is beginning. And because this was the first writing, someone decided this should be in the beginning. But that doesn't make it so, does it? It's only so because of what God said. Now, in the beginning, those three words come out of that one word, resheath. But this second word creates a major problem with the understanding of most people, in the religious realms especially. The word is Elohim. What does Elohim mean? No. It's a plurality of God. It's a multiplicity of God. Okay? Many facets of God. It's number 430 in the Hebrew dictionary. Okay? In the Strong's dictionary. Now, what I found out in my study in the book of Genesis in this first chapter is Yahweh 3068 in the Hebrew dictionary is never even mentioned. Hello? Does that seem strange to you? The word Yahweh, referring to God our Father, is not even referred to in this first book. Only Elohim. The whole first chapter. Actually, he don't come about till the fourth chapter. Okay? In the second verse, I think it is for the first time that God is spoken of as Jehovah, or Yahweh, what it should be. Okay? So this whole first book is not talking about God the Father doing all this creating. See, we miss something. Because Jesus said in Colossians, Paul said about Jesus, he said, I created all things. Whether it be principalities, thrones, dominions, whatever it is, I created it. That's what Paul was speaking about Jesus. Excuse me. So if Jesus did all the creating, and Jesus was the first of many brethren, he was the head of the body, we're part of that body. Now, I know it sounds sacrilegious to a lot of people, but who done the creating? We did, as first fruit. But we don't remember what we did, do we? See? We're trying to remember what God has brought into our lives. He placed it within us. There's the covenant. He did it. He set this all up. And what he's telling you in this first chapter, he's trying to bring to remembrance what you did. If you can't remember what you did, that's part of your history, isn't it? It's part of your life. It's part of your foundation. If I can't remember my foundation, do you think the rest of my house is going to stand? It's built up on sand. It'll never make it. So we have to realize this is some pretty wild stuff we're getting into. It's going against the grain of what all of denominational teaching has. Sure. It's not the body. It's talking about the Christ within us. Anyway, this Elohim, okay? And it was in Colossians 1:16 where he said he created all things. Okay? And in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and earth. Okay? Now, the heaven and earth, we have to realize, is two things. And I could go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, I believe it is, where it says, until heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law. It's a concept we have to understand, that heaven and earth is separated, is what Jesus was talking about. Yes, it was separated, just like Adam and Eve was separated. You know, we were separated from our other part, okay? And we have to come back to the Christ that we were separated from because of our understanding in our mind. Were we ever really separated? If we were, we would have been dead. We would have never made it. But in our mind, we thought, because of all the wisdom of man that's taught us all this foolishness, that we've been separated from our Father. He is the life. How could we be separated from life and say, I'm alive? It's impossible. See? But if they would think that, see, they'd have to tear down all their idols. And you know, people like their idols. You got to leave them alone. Flesh? Sure. Absolutely. It's what it is. Absolutely. It's the perfect God-man who God created in this heaven and earth. So when Elohim did this, he created the perfect God-man. Now, why could we say Elohim created the perfect God-man when we go look at Genesis 2:7 and we see that Elohim did what? He created Adam. He formed Adam. Not created, he formed him. But see, what we don't understand is that was exactly what God wanted. He got exactly what he wanted. Do you think anybody could do anything contrary to what God wants with the power to do anything he wants? Now, we have attributed all of this power in this book of Genesis, in this creation in first chapter, to God the Father, the one, the old gray-haired man that sits in the heaven. That's the picture that we get. That's what we've been taught. We've been trained since children. That's what it is. But this was first fruit that did all this. It just shows you I have invested in you the power that I have. Everything that God has, we have access to. Didn't when Jesus died, didn't he say the throne room is now open? We can boldly enter the throne room because of his blood? Guess what? It's open. It's always been open. We just wasn't aware of it. See, we hadn't come to light yet up here. Upon all flesh. See, it's there. Many ways to say it. Here's the thing. In the beginning, Elohim created heaven and earth, the perfect God-man. God has a purpose. And there in this verse tells you the very purpose of God. Just like I said in Matthew 5:18, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle of the law will pass. So guess what? You can't come out from under this thinking of the law until the concept of God being separated from you is out of your mind. As long as I think God's up there and someday he will return, guess what will happen? I'll stay under the law. I'll be doing and don't doing the rest of my life instead of being obedient to what God said no matter what it is. I can't hear because I'm under the law. I'm afraid. That fear has got me. And when I realize that I'm not separated from God, what am I afraid of? Why am I afraid to face my Father? Only because I have fear and condemnation in my heart. If I love God and I'm obedient to God, why would I be afraid of my Father? See? That's what religion teaches us, to be afraid of our Father. God's trying to bring you back to Him and religion's trying to separate you from Him. God wants you to come back to Him as a loving son, to a loving father. In this first verse also, this is Christ the corporate son. Okay? They become the corporate son right there. Not in the New Testament, but he became the corporate son before the foundation of the world. What God did was he created the first fruit, and the rest of it, guess what we did? We did it. See, the first fruit. We just don't realize what we did. It's a finished deal, whether we believe it or not. And here's what he says about this. Now, we know the earth was our flesh body, the heaven is the spiritual realm, the mind of Christ, okay? And look what he says about the earth, this natural man. It was without form, it was waste, and empty or becoming desolate. See? There was nothing in the flesh but flesh. And until the Spirit of God was placed in Genesis 2:7, it was nothing. It was just waste and desolate. And the Spirit of God not moved but brooded. Okay. Beg your pardon? Or brooded is what the language says. Just like a mama hen broods over her little chicks when she's got them in the nest. See, and the concept that we've had in the past is, oh, we're out of God's will. Oh, my goodness, we're doing terrible things. God's going to kill us all and throw us in hell because we've done something wrong. Is that true? That's what the people have taught us, though. But see, he is protecting us. The mama hen, just like she protects the hens and the little chicks in the nest, she's protecting them. You don't believe it, you go up and try to get one of them little chicks out from under her. Because she'll fight you to death to try to protect them. And God is protecting us in the same way. While we're in our ignorance, we're still in the nest, per se. He is protecting us. And it says, darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness, literally, if you look in the language, it says ignorance. Ignorance was upon the face or the mind of the deep, which is humanity, the many seas, the roaring mass of water. So ignorance was on the mind of the humanity, and the Spirit of God brooded upon the mind of the waters, or protected the mind of humanity. So what he's telling you, the shape we were in, we were waste and desolate, but God was hovering or moving or brooding or protecting us in our time of ignorance. Thank God for that. Huh? We can all say, thank God that He protects the ignorant. Huh? And that ignorant doesn't mean stupid. It means not enough information to make a logical decision, to make the right choice. And God said, let there be, or literally, come into being. He just said, come into being. And there was what? And light came into being. Now, if you understand this, Jesus made a powerful statement in the Gospels. He said, you'll do greater works than what I have done. He walked around and healed people. He done a lot of miracles, did he not? Raised people from dead. He said, you're going to do greater works than these. Now, how do you think you're going to do greater works than what he did? We're going to reconcile all of creation, but how are we going to do it? Well, there's something else I'm looking for. Through knowledge. It's exactly right. When we understand who we are, I can be the most powerful person, or you the most powerful person on the face of the earth, but if I don't know it, what good would it do me? I have to understand what God has ready for me in my life. I have to realize my identity. Hello? We have to realize we are sons of God. I don't claim to belong to any organization. I don't claim to be a Baptist, a Methodist, or anything like that. I don't claim to be a Christian. I only claim one thing, which God calls me, a son of God. See, we're all sons of God. There's no male and female in God. We're all sons of God. Anytime you put a label on yourself, all you're doing is saying, I'm better than some other group. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's why I refuse to have a label. That's why I don't have a sign out here saying, Pastor so-and-so. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. That's my job, what God has set for me to do. So I do the job. My name is Dave. Right? Everybody's got a name. So my name's Dave. It's not. I ran into a guy this week, last few weeks I've been talking to a homeless guy in town. And every time he sees me, he was calling me Reverend. I said, don't do that, please. Don't call me, especially that name, don't call me. And he said, well, sir. And I said, no, I'm not sir. My name is Dave. And just because you're on hard times don't mean you're any less of a person and you have to bow to me. You're just a person like I am. There's no difference. And that's what I'm trying to say. God is trying to show us that. Don't put labels on yourself. Just be sons of God. Okay? And God said, let there be light. And light came into being. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided, or literally separated, the light from the darkness. Okay? So He separated the light. Now, what would call another word we'd have for light? Illumination or knowledge? See, He separated the illuminated ones from the darkened ones. Okay? I'm not slicing and dicing. There's people out here that are ignorant. Come on. They have no idea what God's doing. They can go to church all their life. It doesn't have anything to do with God. I'm talking about the ones that He chose. If you go to Ephesians, He said He chose those in Him before the foundation of the world. It's not about what you do that makes you who you are. It's what God chose for your life. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You hear what I'm saying? So the church world can give you all these lists of do's and don't do's and regulations and doctrines and theories and all this stuff. It means nothing. It's God's choice in everything, true or false. It's not up to us. We're to be obedient, not try to lay out a plan for God to follow. And that's what the church world is trying to do, trying to make God follow them. It won't work. So we know that God's purpose is oneness with Him, correct? That's the whole purpose, is to bring His creation back to Him. what it's all about. So this light is the illuminated ones, okay? And God called the night the light day. Literally, the day star. What was Jesus' other name, one of his names? The day star, the morning star. And darkness, which is the ignorance, right? He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. When he said he separated the light from the dark, do you know what it says in Hebrews 4 and 12? The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even the soul and the spirit. Well, what would you think the soul might be? Darkness, ignorance. What do you think the spirit might be? Light. See, and that word of God is what's doing the separating. It's not what you do. It's His Word that does the separation. Hebrews 4 and 12. And in John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you'll continue in My Word, you'll be My disciplined ones indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth you know will make you free. Because that's that sword of Hebrews 4 and 12 that separates the soulish from the spiritual. See what I'm saying? So God wants us to understand that this stuff has already been done. It's God's choice. I mean, I could stand up and scream and holler for the next 2 years. It would make no difference to God. I could sell everything I got, give it to the poor. It means nothing if God didn't tell me to do it. Does it? He's not looking for volunteers. He's looking for obedient sons. Hear what I'm saying? And we're not talking male and female here. We're talking about children of God, sons of God. We're all the same. I have to hear His voice before I can do anything right. Otherwise, it's just a blind hog finding an acorn in the woods once in a while. Okay? We know what hogs are. We don't need to go there. And the evening and the morning, what? Well, the word were is not really correct by the language. Here's the word it says. Became. So the evening and the morning became the first day. Why did the evening come before the morning? Why didn't it just start in the morning? Because we were conceived in ignorance. Didn't David say he was conceived in sin? Any sins and transgressions? So guess what? We were conceived in ignorance. We did not understand everything we know. Correct? But as we journey through our life, guess what we're going to come to? The sunrise. The illumination, the understanding of God. That's the way God set it up. It's a principle of God that's throughout this whole book. You start in ignorance, you come to light. Okay? That's the pattern. And this book is nothing more, the whole book, is a book of biblical patterns and principles. If you find the principle, you find the pattern, it will work throughout the book. It can't be denied. It's there. You have to hire someone to help you deny it if you deny it. And that's your own mind. Put the cherubim to work for yourself. Okay? Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Now, what is the word firmament mean? No. See, that's a concept that we've been trained, the firmament of the heaven. Well, see, this is talking about the firmament on the earth. It said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And the word firmament here means a stretched out expanse of land. Okay? A stretched out expanse. Huh? Land or sky. Right. But it's speaking of here, land on between the waters. And what is the waters? It's the many peoples and nations and tongues. And let it separate the waters from the waters. Hello? Let it separate the waters from the waters. Now here, let me show you something what it's really saying. And let it separate the waters, the humanity, from the humanity. Now, this water here, let it separate it from the center of the waters, okay? From the center of it. What's your center? Your spirit. So let this land separate from the spirit. Does that make anything ring in your head? When Adam and Eve took out of the garden, They were separated from their very being. God, true, their center, the Garden of Eden, the very center of being. Everybody says the Garden of Eden is the very beginning or center of the earth. Well, the very center of our earth is our spirit. And he said, let this expanded land mass separate the water from the waters. Well, there's two different classifications of people. There's God people and people who are disobedient. Obedient and disobedient. I'll say it that way. Okay? So the obedient people are separated from the disobedient. The light from the dark. The firmament is the flesh. It's the flesh. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament and the waters which were above the firmament. Now, see, everybody's always said the firmament, you always heard it's heaven. This is talking about land right on this earth. So he said that the firmament that God made, he made the separation between the people above and the people below, the spiritual people and the earthly people. Who made the difference? I didn't draw no lines, did you? Huh? Well, but we do. See, there was things here. Just because this is written in the order it's written in doesn't mean something hasn't already been done. That's the thing we have to watch. This book is not always written in chronological order exactly as it happened. And sometimes something's done without even telling you about it, and it'll come out way... Well, we haven't got two firmaments yet. We're still doing with one. Okay, we'll get to it in just a second, Bob. Verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven here. Now, just because he called it heaven, does that mean it's up in the sky? Okay. Got to watch. And the evening and the morning were the what? It was the second day. It became the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So he said, everybody on the lower realm, the non-spiritual realm, were gathered together in a place of dry land. Dry is not a good subject, is it? Not spiritually. They were lacking of understanding. Okay? The ones in the earthly realm, the ones that had the lack of the knowledge of God. Where am I at? Okay. And God said, verse 9, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and see dry land appear. The word let is really the word see, S-E-E. And see dry land or dry ground appear, and it became so. So he's saying, get together and see what happens. Get a bunch of humans together and guess what you're going to get? Dry land. That's chaos, I guarantee you. See, put them together and you'll get some dry land. There won't be anything there godly, I guarantee you. Not when you let them make all the decisions. And God called the dry land what? Earth. And gathering and the gathering together of the waters, he called seas, right? And God not saw, but God knew that it was good. Why did God know that it was good? Because he did it. He made it. He knew it all, but he made it. He knew it was good. And God said that the earth sprout forth grass. What is grass? Flesh. It says that in Isaiah 40, verse 6 and 7, all flesh is grass. In Peter 1 and 20, 1 Peter 1, 24, it says the people is grass. Okay? It also says all flesh is grass. Isaiah 40, verse 6 and 7. And it's in Peter, 1 Peter 1 and 24. All flesh is grass. So when he says, let the grass come forth, let the earth bring forth grass, what's he really saying? Is he really talking about grass on the earth? I mean, we understand that there was grass had to start somewhere, right? But that's not the point. He's talking about spiritual things and the creation of this natural earth. What benefit does that have for me? It's a place to stand on, but I'm going to live for eternity because I was created out of God, weren't you? So I have eternity. That's not a problem. I have eternity. You have eternity. You are eternity in you. So that's not my issue. My issue is, how do I get back to this understanding that I had once before? You see what I'm saying? How do I get back? What do you think Job's whole life was about? Trying to show you the same picture. How do you get back to your Father? Through all these fears and insecurities that we have in life, how do I get back to my Father? Learn to be obedient. What did it tell about Jesus? Learned he obedience through the things he suffered. Come on. This is the picture that God's painting in our life. How to learn to be obedient. If he learned to be obedient, how are we going to get it? It's the same way. There's no free passes. There's none of this coming in. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Dunk you in the water and you've got a ticket paid for. That's a lie. That has nothing to do with your maturing into God, does it? When you mature in God is when you live your life every day. It's not about going to church every Sunday or every Wednesday or whatever. It's about growing in God and showing God in your life every day of your life. Every day. It's not a part-time thing. Jesus Christ was not a vitamin supplement. He's not something you take to make you feel good. He is life itself. And if you don't get a hold of this, you'll continue believing this religious thing and this condemnation and guilt that it puts in your life. This is life and you are free. It's a done deal. You have this authority and power in your life if you just listen to it. But you got to learn obedience. It's not about doing and don't doing. He showed you the law, wouldn't take it. Wouldn't cut it, would it? So he did it for us. We don't have to worry about it. All we got to do is be obedient. I'm going to get excited in a minute. I'm forgetting. There was no sun, moon, or stars created yet, so it couldn't have been the light he was talking about. Absolutely. I was in verse 11, wasn't I? Okay. And God said, let the earth sprout forth grass, or flesh. And the earth produced this, okay? And the herb yielding seed, okay? In the herb yielding seed. Now, I want to show you something. Turn to Psalm 104, verse 14. And I want to show you what this grass is all about. Okay? David writes this and says, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Now, that's not exactly what it says. It literally says it this way, and the herb for the labor of Adam. The herbs, the trees with the seeds in them, the fruit trees and everything, all this stuff was put here for Adam to labor over. Hello? What do you think this labor taught him? Obedience. Obedience. That's all this book is trying to teach you. Obey what your father says. Forget about the rules and regulations of doctrines and denominations. Forgetting what the word was. Denominations and organizations. That will not give you a relationship with your father. Verse 15 where, Bob? Oh. I didn't look. I already turned away from it. Just a second. That answers the question. Let me get there so I can see what you're saying. I already turned away from it. I'm right there now. And the wine that makes glad the heart of man, and the oil to make his face shine, and the bread which strengthens man's hearts. Right? It's all there for God. God put it there for us, and he didn't say wine was bad. Right, it's all right here if we'll just read it. See? And most people don't take time to put it together. When you read this book, let me say this. When you read this book, you have to read it with a mind open to hear from wherever God's speaking to you. Okay? From above the firmament. You've got to hear it from above the separations. Okay? You've got to be able to hear it. And the fruit tree producing fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Do you know what a tree represents? Humanity. Okay, it's humanity. And it says the seed's in itself. How many people know that the seed of Christ is within them? They're still waiting for Him to come back from heaven. It does, but they don't believe it. See, because the church world tells them something different. If you don't get in here and find out yourself, do you know you might believe anything? That's why people believe so much of this foolishness, because they don't do any work themselves. You've got to get inside this thing yourself. Then you'll know. Once you know a truth, that's why you're free, because nobody can take it away from you once you know it. You see, it's yours. And the evening and the morning became the third day. You find out you've got Christ in you, guess what you're going to find out? You're going to come to the sunshine on the third day. You're going to come out of the darkness on it. Because part of the third day is in darkness. Hello? Everybody thinks you come to this third day, you've got it all figured out, honey. Uh-uh. You're still in confusion and ignorance when you come into it. It's a progression as you go through this day, this experience of God in this third day, that you come to light. And it's in every experience of God, in all these experiences we're going through these 6 days, guess what? They all begin in ignorance. Every experience. When I came out of the first grade in school and I went to the second grade in school, I thought I was flying because I got promoted to the second grade. But when I got to the second grade, I realized I didn't know anything about the second grade. I was still in ignorance. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's the same thing with every experience of God. When I step from this realm to the next realm, guess what I find out? I'm starting all over again. I ain't got no rank and seniority in this realm. And you know what? When you find out, when you step into the realm with God, you have none anyway. He's got all the rank and authority. You only have what He gives you. And when you realize you have none, then you might begin to get some. Hear me. Listen to that. And God said, verse 14, let there be lights in the firmament. Now, let there be lights on the firmament. Okay, or in the firmament. The firmament of the heaven. That's that stretched out expanse of the heavens, right? To do what? To separate, divide or separate the day from the night. Or to separate the illuminated from the ignorant. And the next four words says, let them be four. All those words should be crossed out because they're not even there. Let them become, the word be is the only one that should be there. Let them become signs. Let me say it again, I said it wrong. To divide the day from the night, the ignorant, the illuminated from the ignorant, and for, it should say, and be signs for seasons, days, and years. There's a lot of words there that's added in there. Let them be for signs, for seasons, days, and years. Sure it is. They're placed within you. He's putting it inside of you. We hear about these two records of creation. Everybody's heard about the two records of creation, okay? But yes, there was two creations. There was a physical creation and there was a spiritual creation. And see, I'm not talking about two physical creations as some people talk about. One of them was in me. One of them was in you. And the other was a natural physical thing that we walk on out here. And that's good. We got a nice earth to walk upon. But you know what? The greatest thing was that I come to an understanding of the creation inside of me, the Christ within you. There's the greatest understanding you can have. If you understand that Christ, you'll understand everything about God. Because God is love, and love covers everything else up. Verse 15, he said, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. Now, what do you think these lights might be? What do you think these lights might be? It's the Christ within you. It's lighting up. Jesus said, I am the light that came from above that lights every man that comes into the world. It's the incorruptible seed, the mind of Christ. It cannot be corrupted. No matter what you do, you can't corrupt the mind of God or the seed of God. He said, let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. You know, in natural understanding, we'd have probably created... night, because they had a greater need, wouldn't we? See? But you know what? In the daytime, this sun is created for warmth, and it's so light and it's so brilliant that it warms even into the night, doesn't it? It warms all night long. It covers you all the way through. And this other light, I see for the ones that are not illuminated, guess what? It's just enough to give them a little bit of light. They'll bump into a few things, and a few of them will fall in the pits, but it gives them enough light to survive. Just a little protection there, so they don't get totally lost out there in the dark. He's taking care of them, isn't he? He's even given the ignorant ones a little bit of light to get them through. That's a beautiful picture of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's just enough to get them by. See, he's protecting them in their ignorance. When it's time, he'll get to them. Beautiful picture of reconciliation. Now, he created these two lights, one to rule the day and one to rule the night. Now, you know, you could go into Genesis 37, and Joseph had a dream about the sun, moon, and stars, didn't he? The lights in the firmament, the stars, the sun, the moon. What do you think those things were in his vision? The sun was his father, the moon was his mother, and the stars was his brothers. The same picture goes throughout this whole book. You can't change it and flip it and flop it all over the place. It's got to be the same thing, because God is not changing, is he? Could, yes. Right. The moon. Right. Right. In the nighttime, the sun shining, hitting the moon, reflecting back to the earth. Yep. And it's just a temporary thing. It's not like I say, not generated light. It's just reflected. Right. Yep, it's not a real thing. Yep. Absolutely. And God set them in the firmament. Who set them there? Huh? God set them there. See? To give light upon the earth. God set this. And see, Elohim's still doing all this. This whole chapter, it's Elohim. Every time you see the word God, Elohim. The plurality of God. See, so when we started, we did something right. We did something right when we started. But when we're left to ourselves, we always get in trouble. Sometimes God lets us make mistakes so we can learn. That happens quite a bit, I think. Okay, verse 18. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide or separate the light, the illuminated from the ignorant, and God knew that it was good. He knew that it was good. This is what needed to be done. We need to separate the light from the darkness, just like he needed to sift the wheat to get the bad grains from the good grains. See? That's all. It's separated. And that's not a class of people. Let me clarify this. It's not a class of people. I don't want anybody to think that I think there's bad people on earth and good people on earth, because they're all sons of God. There's disobedient and there's obedient. Okay? He is going to remove the wickedness out of the earth. Did the scripture say that? That ought to be a good word for everyone hearing this word. Because he's going to remove the wickedness out of me, and what all is going to be left? God, Christ. See? Nothing left but Christ. It's not about taking bad people off the earth and punishing them. It's about taking the wickedness out of my thinking process and establishing the mind of Christ in me so I can think like he thinks. Separated again, Hebrews 4 and 12. Absolutely. Okay. And the evening and the morning became the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. Now, you think he was just talking to a mass of water? He was talking to a group of people. Let the waters come forth, the multitudes of people. Let them bring forth. And I know we're talking about natural things here, but there's spiritual implications to it. Correct? So the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and that thing that has the moving creature is the sea monster, okay? That is alive. And the birds with wings that fly above the earth in the open firmament of the sky, or the heaven, what they call the firmament of the heaven, the spread out expanse of the heaven. And God, Elohim, created great whales. Literally, sea monsters. Well, I don't know about that. See, I don't know. Right here. See, he created great sea monsters. Now, what is humanity? The sea. There's all kinds of monsters in this humanity, is there not? There's all kinds of monsters. They just fighting some of them there in the Middle East. We've got some of them in Washington, so there's no difference between there and Washington, is there? There's sea monsters all over the place. And every living creature that moved, which the waters brought forth, and I still see that as the Elohim. They're still creating after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. Or he knew that it was good. And God blessed him. Elohim blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let the fowl multiply on the earth." And the evening and the morning became the fifth day. Now we're getting down close now. We're about to wind this creation thing up. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth, let the natural bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind." Wonder who that is. Beasts of the earth. We're talking about cattle and creeping things. Probably talking about humanity again, the beasts of the earth. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God knew it was good. And God said, again, Elohim, it's all Elohim. Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image." Now, I've taught this before. This was God talking to God, but that was a mistake, because this is Elohim. And Elohim said, "Let us." We're talking to ourselves here, the whole group, the corporate. We're saying, "Let us..." Just a second. "Let us make Adam in our image." Okay? Number 120 from the root 119, show blood in the face, ruddy, mankind, humanity. Let's make humanity after our likeness, and let them, right? "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Now, who was he talking about when he said, "Let them have dominion"? Yeah, them was Adam. In Genesis 5, 1 and 2, I'll read you something. "This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created," and that was God, Elohim, "God created man in his image. In the likeness of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created." Adam and Eve was created at the very same moment. See, everybody wants to think that Adam was by himself running around out here and had nobody, but he was part of her. Her and him, the her and the him together made one. And God separated the female from the male. He didn't take a rib out, he took a side chamber out, which was the womb, the female side, and separated and made him a helpmate. He didn't make a slave to follow behind him. He made someone to walk beside him and to make decisions just like he did, as one, to work as a team. "Let them take dominion over the earth," right? That's the spirit and the soul. And when we come together, when my soul begins to submit to the Christ within me, we begin to get along. And if one can put 1,000 together, what's the two going to do? Put 10,000 to flight, see? And if I don't come to submission to the Christ within me, if my woman doesn't submit to the Christ within me, I will never submit to anyone externally. It's got to be an internal submission before I can ever expect anything external. Because even if someone puts a show on, looks like they're submitted, it's only temporary because it'll come out. They weren't submitted inside. It'll blow up. It won't last. But if it's internal first, you're going to see the real deal come down the pike. You're going to see the external come into line with it. And notice that they had dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, and over what? All the earth. They had dominion. Now, does that mean they only had dominion over things that creeped and flied and swam? It means they had dominion over all the earth. And guess what you are? You got dominion over who? Yourself. You got dominion over and can take rule over what you have and possess, and that's yourself. You can do this. You know why? Because it's what's within you. The Christ, the seed that's within you. So God, Elohim, created man in His own image. And in the image of God created He him, male and female, created He them. See, when they looked at Him and they said, when Elohim looked at this creation they wanted to create, they didn't look like this, and here's a big old pile of mass of red clay or something, and say, boy, that looks like God, doesn't it? See, they weren't looking at a form of a human being with arms and legs and say, that's what God looks like. See, they were spirit, and they could see God in spirit, because only spirit refers to spirit. Flesh can't see it. Okay, so they looked and they saw God. And they said, there's what we want. That's what Father wants, so that's what we want. See, they were thinking with the same mind that God had gave them, the mind of Christ. And they said this, let's create Adam after our likeness. You know why? Because they saw God and they knew they were a reflection of who? God. So let's create them just like us. Because we're just like our daddy. Both male and female. And they're both male and female. See, you can't create anything without male and female. The creation process is a pattern through the whole universe. Male and female produces. Just male or just female don't produce. Okay? And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and do what? What? You better look again. That word is not replenish. That's King Jimmy Lane. Because there had never been a replenishing before. There's nothing before them. You can't replenish unless there had been something there before. That word re means to redo. Do it again. It hadn't been a creation before this. This is it. This is the unique one. This is the first one. Okay? So it says, fill the earth. And how many stories have been preached about that replenish? It's not the right word. Look in your language. It says fill. Fill it. Fill the earth. Fill the earth and subdue it. You fill this earth with enough, guess what's going to happen? You're going to subdue it. Remember the Gospel of John? The first miracle Jesus did? He said, fill the water pots with water to the brim, and automatically it turned into wine, the revelation of God. You want to subdue this earth? Fill it with water. Why do you think it's two-thirds water now? It's going to be filled one of these days, isn't it, with the water. Absolutely, that's what we're saying.
People get that all wrong, they think we got to overpopulate.
I understand. That's exactly what we said, Bob. You're right. Exactly what we said. It's about filling this earth here with spirit. So I can take dominion over it. Okay? Where did I leave off? 28? Subdue it and have not dominion but rule over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the sky, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Everything. All. Word's cold. It's all. Over all that moves on the earth. What are you supposed to have dominion on? All of it. On. It could be in too. Everything that moves on my earth, I'm supposed to have dominion on it. I'm not talking about what I'm walking on, I'm talking about me. Everything in me, I'm supposed to have dominion over. If I have dominion over it, guess what I would be? I would be the ruler, I would rule this earth, and if I have rule over it, guess what I'd also be? Disciplined. You've got to be disciplined by taking all these experiences and taking them back to the Father. It'll get you back to the Father. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food." It shall be food. All these trees and herbs will be food. "And to every beast of the earth," every living creature, it should say, "and every living creature of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth wherein is life, I have given every living plant for food." And it was so. And God saw, Elohim again, God actually knew everything that was made. He knew everything that was made. And behold, it was what? Exceedingly good. It wasn't just good, it was exceedingly good, is what the language says. So what does God do? Does He make junk? He made everything good. So anybody that comes and tells us that we're subpar, we're not where we're supposed to be, it tells me they don't know their father, do they? They don't know their brother, because their brother made everything, and everything that our brother made was exceedingly good. And you're one of the things that He made. I'm one of the things He made. So why should I be disappointed? Why should I be disappointed if someone doesn't believe what we're saying? It's not up to me. I'm not preaching my gospel. I'm preaching what Father gives me to preach. And you know what? I'm just trying to show you that you are okay where you're at. Just don't be content to stay there. Continue moving. What do you think the journey that the Jews traveled in? Do they get to sit still in the desert? They're always moving. Packing up and moving. Packing up and moving. I hate packing up and moving. I want to get to the promised land. You know what I'm saying? Just move. Don't take nothing with you. Just dump it all and go. Get to the promised land. When you get there, you got everything you need anyway. Our reward is in Him. No, carrying anything. Remember what He told Abraham? "I am your great and exceeding reward." See? That's the greatest thing we can have. And you don't need a bag or a donkey to pack it, do you? You pack it inside of you. And Elohim knew that everything He had made, and behold, it was very good, exceedingly good. And the evening and the morning became the sixth day. In the sixth day, you're going to understand something. Everything that you have done in your life is good. You know why? Because it takes the negative to bring about the positive. If you don't have the dark, you'll never appreciate the light. Everything in your life has come about by two things, positive or negative. And if you don't have these things, you'll never come to the understanding of the morning. If you don't go through the darkness, you'll never come to the light. True? You'll never know there was anything else. You'll never have an appreciation of anything. And you can't come to spiritual maturity until you've walked through the valley of the shadow of death. You've got to walk it. It's an experience. Something everybody has to do. I can't have a free pass, and you can't have a free pass. But do you want to come to the end of the sixth day where the labor has ceased? And if you created it, guess what you're still doing? Because Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Huh? I'm still creating. Am I creating darkness or light? Which way? What am I dropping off as I walk through this earth? Am I giving off the illusion of darkness or light? What am I showing to people? Am I showing the reality of light or the illusion of darkness? That's what we have to ask ourselves. What are we doing in this lifetime? Am I showing anything to anybody else? Is someone being able to see your life and seeing God in it? Can they? That's not my call. That's what you have to deal with. And it's not to be for condemnation. It's not to get a point above anybody else. That's not the point. The point is, am I being who I really am? Am I Christ or not? I'm not talking about one Christ ruling the universe. I'm talking about part of the corporate Christ. Am I part of it? Are you part of it? If you are, then people should start to recognize it. And all that does is show you that it's part of the growth process. I used the example years ago when Lois asked me, said, why can't people see me? When we're always together, they see you. And I said, it's just like when a woman's pregnant. No one knows it but the woman to start with. It takes a while. And eventually everybody will know it. But right now, sometimes we don't get noticed. And that's part of the process too. Part of the rejection of studying and working and trying your best and still no one giving you any recognition. But see, when you find out that you don't need the recognition of man, no man. You don't have to prove yourself to anyone. All you have to do is prove yourself to yourself. And when you prove yourself to yourself, you know who will be standing right there with you? Your Father. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. That's the seventh day. You'll be resting. Labor to enter into my rest. You'll quit creating turmoil and havoc in your life. You'll come to peace. And that's what this is all about. And this is just the beginning. I mean, there's 49 more chapters in this book. It's going to be a year probably before we get through this thing. But it's okay, because we're not in here racing time. We're only got one thing in our mind. Get to the destination. Get to the destination. Every process we step into, when we step out of, we step from ignorance into light in day one, and when we get through day one, we come to day two, we step out into there, and we're back in ignorance again in that realm. To see the day. The perfect God-man. Absolutely. Just a process. So when you understand, you have to see that there's darkness in every realm, there's confusion in every realm until you get where you got to go, to the maturity of God. Beautiful thing. Okay.